You're listening to this week's sermon from Saanich Baptist Church in Victoria. To watch the sermon online or for more resources, head to saanichbaptist.org. Have a great week.
So it's great to be with all of you this morning. How are you doing? You've got through most of the holiday. You're doing well. See, some of you are still wearing your mittens because it's cold for some of you, and it's been so good. We've had our entire family with us this past week, which is now a total of 16, and if you're pro-life, it's 17, I suppose, and one of our daughter-in-law is expecting. It is so good and exhausting, I gotta say, it's been wonderful. There was one moment where Carla said, "What are you doing upstairs? The kids are downstairs." Exactly. Wasn't met with quite the same enthusiasm that I shared it, but it's good. Looking forward to a new year. I've never been great at the New Year's resolutions. I don't know about you, but I turn 60 in this upcoming year. Yeah. Shocking for some of you. I know. You're like, you can't be a day over 55. That's what you're thinking. But here's the thing. I'm getting old, and it's obvious. But what I don't want to do is I don't want to just get old and maybe be grumpy. I don't want to get old and maybe be cynical. And those things are in me. They're there, and they creep up sometimes. And I don't want that. Now, what is it that you're thinking about for the Scott? I don't know exactly. We are finishing, Kim, where are you? We are finishing Christmas. It wasn't just Go Tell It on the Mountain. Why we need Christmas is still the theme of today. Why do we need Christmas? Well, because today is a new day. Today is a new day, and so will tomorrow when we're in it. It will be a new day, and of course, so will Tuesday. And you get where I'm going with this. And you see, in the Christmas story, we discover the significance of our God becoming human. Coming and living here on this earth and engaging the world in which we live. And in the lead up to his coming, we would hear things like this from Isaiah. Isaiah wrote about 600 years before the birth of Jesus and was foretelling about the coming of Jesus. And this is one of the things he said about this new thing that was going to be happening. He says, "See, I am doing a new thing." This is Isaiah 43:19. "Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" And in that, there's just this little catch for me. I'm like, oh, you mean I could miss it? Oh my goodness, you and I both know we can miss it, right? We need that presence of our God. And you see, in Jesus' time on earth, he lived out the highs and lows as we did, for sure. And he would often talk to those following him, his disciples or the crowds that were following him, and he would encourage them to ensure that they lived in the day that they were in. Not to live in the past. Oh, there might be some really great things from the past, and there might be some really hard things from the past, and we need to process that, and we need to do that with God. But let's make sure that we are here today and aware of what God is wanting to do in and through us today. And so that's what I'm looking forward to in 2024, trying to figure out how can I be present and in the moment. This is what the angels declared. Do you remember? "Fear not. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people today in the town of David, today in the town of Victoria, of Sanishton, of the West Shore, today." Jesus wants to bring us good news of great joy. And we need it because life has highs and it's got some lows. Life is not all a bowl of cherries. Is that the line? I don't know. I don't even know what the line is. But we know it can be hard. And we know it can be really good as well. You see, Christmas reminds us of the necessity and the opportunity, if you like, for a new experience today. Today. So let's not wait till tomorrow. Let's live today and see what it is that God wants to do. The story we're going to look at today is one that's probably familiar to some of you who have been around the church for a while and God's Word. It's John chapter 9, and it's quite a long story, and so I'm not going to take the time to read the entire thing. It's an amazing story. It's about a man who was born blind, and it highlights, if you like, our own struggle with our world that is broken. It highlights the highs and lows, and then right there in the middle of it, you find Jesus. And that's our hope, that right there in the middle of it, we find Jesus pursuing us and offering us his presence, his kindness, and his grace. So yeah, the story, it's about this guy who's born blind, and Jesus is going along a way, and he comes across this guy, and right away we break into a theological dispute. What is it? Why is he blind? Did he sin, or did his parents sin? Like, why? Like, the only reason, you know? And there was this belief that somehow this sickness, this deformity would be because of someone's sin. And Jesus said, no, let's not worry about that. That's not what's going on here. But I am here, and I want to do work here that my glory might be seen and that my glory might be experienced. And what we discover as we roll through the story is that that wasn't the case. Well, it was for the man. He was born blind, and he was healed. And yes, Jesus spat on the ground, and that's all kind of fun and funny and why. And let's not worry about that today. Let's think about the glory of God and how we can see it, or maybe how we miss it. Because that's the thing, honestly, that blows my mind about this story, is that some were able to miss it. I want to start at verse 13, all right? So, guy's been born, he's blind, he's now been healed. There's this debate's gone on about what, why, who, how, all of this kind of stuff. And so then they brought him, verse 13, they brought him to the Pharisees, the man who had been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath, the Sunday, if you like. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. Well, he put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. It's amazing. Like, it's amazing. Can you imagine? Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God. What a strange response. Strange response. This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others ask, well, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they're divided. Shockingly, people divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes that he opened. Well, the man replied, he's a prophet. They still didn't believe that he had been blind. Wow. Wow. They still didn't believe he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked? Yeah, is this the one who you say is born blind? How is it that he can now see? Well, we know he's our son. Yeah, he's our son, the parents answered. And we know that he was born blind. Get ready for more tragedy. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah will be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. Can you imagine? Guy's born blind. God has just done this amazing thing. And that's the response. It's tragic. See, the story offers us, in a rather shocking manner, a warning of sorts to the susceptibility of missing Jesus, his glory, and what he wants to do, and what he's doing. It's possible. Exposing the darkness of our own hearts, if you like. And this is why Isaiah, some 600 years earlier, said, don't miss it. It's coming. A new thing is coming. Do you not perceive it? Will you not be anticipating it? John, who wrote the book of Revelation, remember those seven letters to the churches? Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Let us who have eyes, let us see what God is doing. Why these warnings? Because it is possible to somehow miss God at work, both for ourselves and for others and the world around us. Well, this story displays the kindness of Jesus, and yet if we're not careful, we can miss it. John, the gospel writer, gives us a glimpse of the religious and the parents and their hard-heartedness, their blindness, their calloused approach to the works of the glory of God. It's staggering. It's staggering. Let it sink in this morning that it's possible to miss God. I mean, these are religious leaders. These stories always freak me out because thanks to you guys, I'm a religious leader. Right? They missed it. Have I missed God? Oh, 100%. I've missed him. I don't want to miss him, but I've missed him. I've passed things off. The parent thing, I don't know if I can ever get that one. I don't know how they could do that. Like, I'm a people pleaser. Most of you know that. Like, I really care about what everybody thinks. And if you send me a bad email, it really sucks. And I go suck my thumb, essentially. Like, it takes a little bit. So I care. And I can face the pressure of what other people think. But I don't think I could deny my kids. But I think I could be a religious leader. I know I've missed God at times. So this story, as I head into 2024, just serves as a really good reminder for me. Just a warning that it's possible. I mean, I know I would love to say my response would be that I'm going to celebrate joyfully with this guy and, right, like, woohoo, all this kind of stuff. But you see, there's another story that if I'm going to read it, and that's about the prodigal son. Remember that? Son goes away. Squanders everything. Father sitting there, celebrates when the son finally runs at the end of his rope and comes back. In that story, do you remember the older brother? Grumpy? Maybe. Likely. Hard, right? So hard. And yet it's easy to be hard. It's easy to be blind. It's easy to be calloused. See, what can happen tragically is you and I, a person can fall in love with a system possibly, a tradition over the present work of God. It's got to be done this way, or God can't be in it. Rather than Jesus being the way, the truth, and life, it's our way, our truth, and my life. And a hardness towards the Spirit of God can settle in, a blindness to the things of God can take over. Our thoughts become the dominant thoughts, the dominant patterns for our life and how we express that life, how we live it, what we believe in, what we expect, what we don't expect, what we will welcome, what we will question. Paul in Romans talked about how this is being conformed to the pattern of the world rather than being transformed by the presence, by the reality, by the truth and grace of Jesus. In order to see his glory, his goodness, his kindness, the work of Jesus. Destructively, we can become territorial. We can become defensive. We can become combative, possibly. And we can become susceptible to the influence of the crowd or the system. Jealousy can start pervading within our life, taking over. Envy, bitterness can take root in our souls. And the author of Hebrews said when bitterness starts to take root in our lives, it doesn't just trip us up, but it can defile others. So these things are possible, I think. Can we admit that we're probably not above religious leaders? Like, there are things that can slip in that, although we may not deny our children, that there are times where we can be more afraid of the crowd and can do some things and say some things and maybe not do some things and not say some things that we should because of the pressure of the crowd. I think that's legit. I think that's real. And you see what our hearts and what you and I, what we need is the renewal within our lives of God's grace. Because if we're honest, we're broken people, aren't we? It's not just a broken world, but we're broken people. Sometimes we can be a little bit critical, a little bit cynical. Someone sent me a little Instagram thing, and it was one of these, I don't know, you're supposed to kind of go, woo, ah. And as I'm preparing this message and thinking about trying not to have a critical, cynical spirit, I'm texting back to him, yeah, I don't think that's really what happened. I expect that they did this or that just to try to make them look good and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, yeah, wow, that jumped up really quick and easy. Man, that's just silly. It's Instagram. But it comes out in other ways, doesn't it? It shows itself, for sure. We can become judgmental so quick. We can look around and we can begin to feel like somehow we have some sense of superiority. And as we garner, if you like, if we have that sense of superiority, then we have the right and we should stand up for the truth and let everybody know. And we can get a little judgy, a little judgmental. I don't think I'm the only one who struggles with peer pressure. I know that's a junior high thing. Right? Yeah, the influence of others. People are great. You guys are great until you're not. Right? I'm great until I'm not. And we can influence and do and say and can have sway when really God needs to have more influence and say and sway in our lives. Bitterness, oh my goodness. Jealousy. I need the daily touch of God. I need the glory of God. I need his kindness and I need his grace today. That new day thing. That I'm coming. Do you perceive it? It's springing forth. The glory of God is springing forth every day. This is something that Ben has kind of brought to us. If you caught the theme of that, he talks about it all the time. The glory of God, and I love how he does that. It's springing forth every day. Are we aware? Are we seeing it? Today, I need the presence. I need the touch of the Savior Jesus today to be renewed. Christmas, this story, and many, many more remind us that God in his kindness wants to work. And so we have this story, and we can be, if you like, we can find ourselves in the place of the religious leaders. We can find ourselves possibly in the position of the parents. But to me, that's not even close to the power of the story. I want that as a warning. But I see once again God at work. So the parents ended by saying, that was why his parents said, he is of age. A second time they summoned the man who had been born blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. This is the religious leaders. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. And he replied, this is the man who was born blind, who's now healed, who's just having a great time checking the sights out that he's never seen before. Amazing. And in the midst of that, there's joy. He's having to defend whether he was even blind. And he's having to deal and process with the fact that the religious people who should be celebrating and his parents are rejecting him. Wow. So in the midst of that, so a second time they summoned the man who had been born blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man's a sinner. He replied, well, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Well, he answered, I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become one of his disciples too? I think he was having a little bit of fun right there. He's had just about enough of these guys. Seriously. Well, then they hurled insults at him, and they said, you're this fellow's disciple. What a beautiful thing. Wouldn't you love to be called Jesus' disciple? Yeah. We're disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening of the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you're steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Wow. How would you process this? Now, I don't have a lot of context to be able to go much further, but I can imagine that now this guy who just experienced the glory of God and the work of God, now he was going to have to deal with a critical spirit. Wouldn't you? God's just done this amazing thing. Wouldn't you have this, maybe not right in the moment, maybe you were just so enjoying the view, which that'd be amazing. But at some point, I can imagine that that guy had to deal with a critical spirit. Judging, what is wrong with these people? Like, I could see that coming on. We're not sure. But he's human. And he's just been thrown out of the religious establishment, of the place, of the temple, of the people of God. Wow. I love where this story goes. Jesus heard that they'd thrown him out. And when he found him. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus does this amazing thing in his life that then causes all kinds of chaos and family struggle. And yet, Jesus hears that he's been kicked out of the temple and he goes after him. He offers him his presence. What an absolutely beautiful thing. Listen, I can be blind, but I was never born blind. I can be hard-hearted, calloused, dark, and I was born that way. But I want God to do a work on my heart, my life this year. Listen, one of the most powerful things about the story to me is the conclusion. You are pursued by God when others reject you. Maybe when you're in the midst of just this crazy chaos, I don't know what it is. I don't know what your story reveals. I don't know what it is, but I want you to know and hear this morning, you are loved and valued by God and pursued. Even when those who you just can't believe have just rejected you, have just left you, you're pursued by God. And if this story doesn't tell us anything, it tells us this: your story matters to God. Your blindness, your life, your questioning. You see, I believe that God wanted to reach those religious leaders as well. I believe that God also wanted to reach those parents as well. So if we have those moments, don't worry. God is continuing to pursue you. Will you let him find you? And that sounds stupid, doesn't it? Well, of course God can find me. Well, yeah, God knows where you are on the GPS Google map. He's got you right there. But he needs an open heart, an openness on our behalf to allow God, to allow him to do this work in our lives. And so this year, 2024, let's let our story be ever increasingly characterized by humility. An openness, a curiosity, an attentiveness to what God is doing, a hopefulness that we might see and experience the work of God in our lives, through our lives, and the world around us. And I look forward to looking back. I don't look back well, but I look forward to looking back as we head into 2025 and just seeing the glory of God in the midst of us, in your life. That's going to be amazing. So good. So may we be found by him. may we be found in him. Yeah. Let me pray. And Kim and Jake, if you'd lead us. God, the last thing I wanted to do this morning is somehow project that I'm above being a religious leader or a parent who somehow rejects this man, this son. Because God, although I've never quite experienced that scene, I know there have been times where I've just completely missed what you're doing. And I've been critical. I've had a judgmental heart. I've just been in a bad place. I've just been angry or frustrated or bitter or like there's these things can overtake me, Lord. And so, sort of in the spirit of that gentleman who went to pray to you, God, I'm a sinner. I'm broken. I am messed up, and I just need your forgiveness. I need your restoring presence. And I just pray that on behalf of us as a people, as a church. God, you see us, you've got us pinned in your little Google map, each and every one of us. You know where we are, you know what's going on, but we are also a people. And God, I pray that we as a church might have the desire to be found by you, be led by you this year, that we might see your work even when it challenges us, even when at times we might wonder what is going on, but we might be willing to let you teach us something new, to see you in a new form, in a new way in this coming year. Lord, it's exciting, it's fun. We sort of manually make these New Year marks, and it's an opportunity to start something new and fresh. So may we be found by you this year. May we be found in you, I pray in Jesus' name.